Coming up on this edition of the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix podcast, we will discuss the opening event of 2018, the Century Tournament of Champions. Welcome back to the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix podcast. I'm Alex Myers. I'm joined by Joel Beal. Happy New Year to everyone. We are excited for the PGA Tour season to really get cranking again. Obviously, it never really stopped with the fall portion, but it did. We got a couple weeks off there.
Yeah, a four-week respite.
Yeah. So we're excited, though, to be back. This is obviously traditionally the first event, the winners-only event at Kapalua. It's changed names a bunch of times. It's the Century Tournament of Champions now. I had to look that up a few times. I don't even know what Century
is. I was about to ask you.
No, I don't. Do you?
I do not. I have my computer right in front of me. So I'm gonna
let's
pull
look
this
it up.
As
well,
you,
yeah, we probably should have figured that out. I think it was just the Tournament of Champions the last couple years didn't have. So it's good to have a sponsor. Let's just say that. But we're excited. It's a small field, 34 players. But first, let's put a bow on how 2017 finished. We actually had some, you know, some interesting storylines at the end of the year there. And let's start with Justin Rose, who won the Indonesian Masters. It was his third win in four starts. Obviously, he also won in Shanghai at the WGC event. So, you know, this is a guy who almost won the Masters, then had a back injury, was kind of out of it for a few months, and then just caught fire at the end. He almost tracked down Tommy Fleetwood to win the race to Dubai. Joel, what do you make of his game? Obviously, he's back way up in the top 10 again, but is he someone who could climb up towards the number one spot?
You know, I think he's definitely back in that top five discussion, which is something he's really been on the sidelines for since winning the U.S. Open at Marion a few years back. As mentioned, you know, he did have the back injury last year, but really from the Masters till late, you know, August, he was really not heard of from again. So
yeah.
Not only is it good to see him having a little bit of a revival to get things back on track, but it really does, if you've looked at the past of guys who've had really good falls, it does tend to have some correlation into the next year's successes. We've seen that with Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas,
Hideki Matsuyama
last year.
That's true. Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Fortunately, he's not playing this week in Maui. But yeah, Rose is the guy who, especially look at the courses this year in majors, Shinnecock is a course that sits really well up for him, Carnoustie as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he adds that second major to his resume in 2018.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. He's not playing this week. Obviously, you know, it's an event right after New Year's. It's way out in Hawaii. But he did go to the Indonesian Masters. They must have been paying him a decent amount to show up. And but, you know, I just think how I'm just very impressed, obviously, with Rose, because even that event, the Indonesian Masters, where he was a heavy, heavy favorite against a really weak field, I think he was like 5-2 odds, he still won, and he won by a million shots. So that just shows you the confidence that he's had lately. And yeah, again, I agree with you. I think he's a borderline top five player now. Actually, I mean, right now, of course, he's in the top five. I mean, you'd have to say with the likes of Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, those guys kind of falling out for now. We need to see
Hideki Matsuyama's putting. Exactly.
After the red hot start he had to last year, he really kind of faded down the stretch. So Rose has really jumped in there, and yeah, we'll see. It is interesting how, because we think of the fall kind of disjointed from this, the January portion of the schedule. And I'm sure we'll see Rose at Torrey Pines in a few weeks, but it does seem to carry over. So maybe there is something to that. Maybe it was smart of him to kind of really finish with a bunch of tournaments at the end of the schedule, kind of backload that schedule almost there, and then take a little time off now to catch a breather, but to come into 2018 with a lot of confidence. Another interesting story out in Asia was obviously Kiridesh Afabarnrat moving into the top 50 of the world ranking. And, you know, the world ranking really doesn't mean that much except for the top 50. It's a huge deal to get in the top 50.
For one big reason.
Right. You get into the Masters is the big thing, and that's at the end of the year. Yeah, it's not just getting into the top 50. You have to be in the top 50 at certain points, but the end of the year top 50 is the most important. Afabarnrat did that with a clutch eagle that I think most people who were paying attention to that tournament had no idea, but he made an eagle to finish in fifth place at the Indonesian Masters. He moved in to 49th in the world ranking, but then he accepted a spot in an Asian Development Tour event in Thailand, his home, you know, which was, I think, a nice gesture. He was going to play, kind of support that event. And then he was, I think he realized that he could play his way out of the Masters field if he had a bad week. So he ended up withdrawing with a, quote, bad back the night before. What'd you make of that? I think we're both on the same page that pulling out of a tournament with, let's just be honest, a bogus injury here is not something to be done. But in this case, I give him a pass.
No, I am a lover of all things Augusta. Whatever you got to do to get there. I'm even thinking about if I don't get the call this year to go down, I might call in sick a couple of days and just go down as a fan. So the fact that he'll be actually inside the ropes, right, can't fault the guy. And again, it's not like he took a pass. You know, by all accounts, it wasn't like he got a huge appearance fee either. It wasn't like he was really just trying to help out. And to give you a sense of how low this was in the golf spectrum, someone mentioned it was like the rookie ball of rookie ball in terms of the playing competition he'd be against. So, it's no offense to the tournament he dropped out of, but you got to keep the bigger picture in mind. You can't, if you have a chance at this once in a lifetime offer for, especially a guy like this, let's be honest, I know he's a bit of a cult hero,
right,
Thomas Golf. This might be his only real shot to get there. So, got to give the guy credit. At least the foresight to do that, and I think we're both in agreement there.
Yeah, I mean he made it once before, but you're right. You never know how many times you're going to get a chance to play there, and he actually finished T15 the one time he got there. So he's probably thinking, hey, I got a chance. This is my major. So good for him. We agree. Good for Jordan Spieth as well. He confirmed yesterday that he did in fact get engaged to his high school sweetheart Annie Verrett. On Christmas Eve, no less, very romantic. On Christmas Day, he made a hole-in-one on his simulator that looked like everybody there enjoyed. He did a little dab himself in celebration. I assume he was a little more excited about the engagement, but, you know, you never know with a golfer. But what does this do anything for, you know, his mindset or anything like that coming into the season? Can it help?
I mean, I'm worried big time after we saw what happened to Rory last year. He gets married and has the worst year of his career, right? I'm kidding, by the way. I mean, Sergio won the Masters, and
that's true.
As a newly married man, I can already
You're fresh. This is fresh for you, Joel. Obviously, having just gotten married a couple months ago. So, but was there a toil of stress that you were under the whole year as the wedding approached?
No, I was actually. It was like at some point she's going back out of this, so it was more of wow, she's actually going through this. Good for her. They've been together for such a long time.
Right.
I don't think you're going to see any change of play just because of this. This new lifestyle adjustment.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess let's start talking about the Century Tournament of Champions. Did you find out what it is, by the way? Century?
I did not. The first thing that pops up is that it's a villain in the Marvel comic series. So probably not good.
Right.
Yeah. Probably not good for the sponsor that we cannot figure out on Google what Century is.
We'll keep working on that, and we'll get back to you on that. But in the meantime, 34 players. We'll tee it off. The plantation course at Kapalua. I'm sure I told this story last year, but I did get to play there once. It was the windiest round of golf I'd ever played, and that was in the summer. I remember a playing partner hit it, popped up a tee shot. It went back over his head in the wind. It was so strong. It was crazy. I remember a short par four where someone asked the caddy what they needed to hit, and he said, driver, three wood. And he was right. The hole must have been playing about 800 yards into the wind. We've seen the wind pick up there, but we've also seen some incredible scoring there.
Mm-hmm.
And a big reason for that is the fairways are very, very generous. So you can just wail away off the tee and not worry about much happening there. It really comes down to second shot. So
It's wide open confines.
You
know, the only real defense it has aside from the wind, you do get some crazy side hill lies a little bit on some of the approach shots. But yeah, the greens don't really have any defenses to speak of.
Yep.
So I think the winning score has been 23 under the past nine tournaments. Mm. So unless the wind kicks up, the early forecasts actually look relatively calm. I think you're going to see the winner in that 22-25 under range again this year.
Oof. It's just amazing that they take it that low. every year. Because, again, there will be probably a day or two where there's some wind and maybe the scores aren't that low, but there are some, you know, they always put up some low numbers there. It's par 73 also, which is interesting. Obviously, that doesn't – that kind of helps with the total being under par. Right. So keep that in mind. So
Was it Ernie that set the record there a couple years ago, 31 under tour record? I know Spieth was 30, but I thought
– Ernie?
Yeah,
really?
I thought so. Oof. We'll check it up because the century searches century
century with an S.
Yeah, there we go. Ernie Els, 2003, 31 under.
Holy crap! I did not. There you go. You said a couple years ago. I mean, that's 15 years ago.
You know,
isn't that crazy? 2003 is 15 years ago. Man, I'm getting old. I am getting old. I was in college then. That is nuts. Yeah, well, Ernie Els, and then of course, Ernie Els' most famous moment here was losing in that battle to Tiger Woods in the playoff, where they both made eagle. That was amazing in the final hole, and then Tiger took him down to the playoff because Tiger always won back then. Tiger Woods, before we jump into the tournament, talk a little bit about Tiger Woods. Obviously, he looked pretty good at the Hero World Challenge. We're trying not to get too excited because he looked pretty good last at the 2016 Hero World Challenge as well before the disaster was last year. But we also, at least members of our staff, had the opportunity to spend a day with him recently. He was doing some equipment testing. You know a little more about that. Maybe talk about that, Joel. And also, all the reviews were, this guy looks great. He's in shape. He's motivated. You know, he's rearing to go. So, you know, what do you make of all this? And what do you make of the fact that he hasn't even announced his schedule yet or any part of his schedule?
I mean, that is the wrinkle in the plot, right?
Yeah.
I can envision myself never playing again in September to I'm coming back in October to having a very formidable showing, given all the circumstances at the Hero World Challenge. And then to throw that extra curveball, though, at the end of, I still am not quite sure what I'm going to play again. It shows you that we can – it's very hard to put any conviction, good or bad, in terms of any forecast. The little we do have to go off of, Hero as well as, you know, what our guys on site saw Tiger at the photo shoot, it seems to be things are going the right way. The fact that a lot of his fellow tour pros are excited is what they've seen as well, I think needs to be taken into consideration. As for, you mentioned the clubs, it was just, you know, the TaylorMade M3 and M4 just made public yesterday. Tiger, it seems like, will be using the M3 for equipment users. It's very similar to the M1 setup in terms of the movable tracks. While we saw a lot of tour guys use the M2, which is kind of considered a better players club and doesn't have that movable weight, so guys can really have a little bit more MOI and really bomb it, have a little bit more forgiveness. If you're wondering why Tiger's using movable weights, the way this club is constructed, I think you are going to see a lot of tour guys. I think Dustin Johnson has the M3 in the bag this week as well. So even though you want to say, why isn't he using the – a lot of people wonder why isn't he using the M4. A guy like this doesn't normally need to move weight like this, but because of the way it's constructed, I think you're going to see more guys use the M3 than you saw the M1. So I know that's – if you kind of go on Twitter, some people have been wondering what the heck is he doing with that club. But especially the people at TaylorMade are really like, this is a club for him. It's going to be really good for him. They said he's going to gain at least 3 or 4 yards off what he's seen right now. Given what we saw at Hero World Challenge, distance doesn't seem to be an issue at the moment for him. So
it does not.
It'll be interesting to see, especially given this is a guy who has notoriously used clubs that have been somewhat outdated.
Yeah.
Now that he's kind of back on the back on the forefront of this world, it'll be interesting to see what the dividends are now that he kind of has all the weapons at his disposal.
What's the update on his irons? Because obviously people were talking last year that because of his injury and not being able to play at all, he really didn't have a chance to have this workout session with TaylorMade like we just saw recently, and that probably held things up.
Fortunately, the Nikes are still in the bag at the moment. TaylorMade is confident that when he does get inside the ropes, he'll have his equipment, but he is still using the old Nike prototypes.
That's amazing. So, like you said, he's known to use outdated equipment, but at least on the driver front, he is using a new driver, and we'll see, I'm sure, him transition to new irons as the year goes on, as long as he does play, because I almost feel like last year he surprised everybody by announcing not only a schedule, but a really ambitious schedule of 4 events in 5 weeks. Of course, that ended up not happening. He missed the cut at Torrey, flew to Dubai, he played one round and withdrew, and we never saw him again until the Hero. So maybe this year he's back to, okay, let's keep it realistic this time. Let's not put out a full schedule. He must know when he's going to play. You know it's probably Torrey Pines, unless maybe that cool weather last year for his back wasn't good and that wasn't the place for him to start, and maybe he will just from that. But the one event that he has committed to at least being at is the Genesis Open, which his foundation runs. Of course, he committed to being there last year as well, and that was when he infamously canceled his press conference. He was too injured to even sit for, 20, 30 minutes at a table and answer questions because of his back was being that bad. So, again, he seems pretty confident he will be there. I don't get why, though, he wouldn't just say he's going to play, because he just played. He looked great. He beat Dustin Johnson. He beat Justin Thomas. He's clearly, 2 months later, you'd think he'd be able to play in another tournament.
I think you just alluded to it, though. Last year he had this ambitious schedule and he had to back out, and he kind of looked like a little
fool,
I guess, right?
That's
so
true.
They're really, I know we have this insatiable thirst for any type of Tiger news, but there's really no benefit into announcing until you 100% know for sure that you're going to be in this tournament. So
yeah,
even if he's 99.9% sure, I mean, let's be honest, he's still very early in the recovery stages. He still doesn't quite know what he can do with his back. As he mentioned at the Hero World Challenge, he's still figuring out what he can and can't do. I'm sure the holidays didn't really help that in any facet either.
Right.
So, yeah, he probably does know where he wants to play. I think the one thing we can say for sure, I would be extremely surprised to see if he would go overseas, the Dubai Desert Classic last year. I think he'll be mostly stateside. But, yeah, I think he has an idea what he wants to play. I think Torrey Pines is a really good bet for his first tournament. But, yeah, the fact that I can understand why he doesn't want to announce it, because really there's no benefit. If he plays it, great. He doesn't get any extra credit for it. But if he – something pops up, all of a sudden, hey, what the heck? You just said you were going to play this. What happened? So people, more questions raised, and that's another firestorm he doesn't have to deal with.
That's true, and that did happen in 2016 with the
Safeway.
Safeway, exactly, and he backed out at the last minute. He was supposed to play with Phil. That was really last minute. He did unfortunately take some heat for that. So you're right. He could know he's playing Torrey. And then he could get hurt at Torrey, or he could get hurt today when he's practicing. So you never know. But anyway, we just hope we see him more. It looks like we will see him more. At least that's the hope. So we'll obviously monitor that.
We have a little bit of breaking news, though, by the way.
Uh-oh, what's that?
From our producer, Brittany, Century is one of the largest business-focused mutual insurance companies in the United States. So there you go.
Business-focused insurance company.
Correct.
Okay. So it's Century, Sentry. Are we looking up the right thing? Okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure that's right. Okay. Good for them.
Yeah, Sentry. 5-year agreement. So very
solid. Very solid.
There's a good chance when we come back to this juncture next year, we'll be doing this exact same exercise.
Yeah. We'll probably have forgotten that it's a business oriented insurance company.
Mutual insurance.
Mutual insurance, whatever that means. Good for them. That sounds, if they can bankroll tournament for 5 years, that sounds like they're doing pretty well for themselves. All right, let's move on to that tournament. Actually, one more thing of business, because this is a fantasy show for the most part. Some sad / surprising news, I guess, is that there is no more Yahoo Fantasy Golf. Now, Joel and I are in a privately run league, which if anybody can do that, I think that's the best way to go. You make up your own rules, you do whatever, it's great. Obviously, you know everybody. But obviously, a lot of people have used Yahoo for many years. And, I was in another league that used Yahoo, and I'm surprised to see it go. Obviously, that whole format of the pick four and have four bench guys is kind of out. Obviously, there's still a lot of daily fantasy out there. There's still the PGA Tour fantasy site, although I'm not wild about their point system with bonuses for birdie streaks and stuff. That's just too fluky. I mean, golf's already fluky enough. Like, let's just keep it to how much money someone made or their scores, and take your best scores and add them together.
You get a little too cute with it at times.
Exactly. Which I know they're trying to establish themselves and maybe be a little different. And I know DraftKings does that too. There's some bonuses here or there, and I don't like that as much. Although when you have, you know, thousands and thousands of entries, you probably do need a way to differentiate. But anyway, I'm rambling here. But long story short, if you go to Yahoo to play, you will just know it does not exist anymore for fantasy golf. They obviously weren't getting enough bang for their buck there. So just keep that in mind going forward. And Joel and I will have our own draft later this month. We'll have to have a separate conversation then about what we're going to do, maybe with some keepers. Tiger Woods was kept already last year, right?
He was.
So that we don't have to worry. I mean, I wish we could get Tiger Woods, although it's probably better to stay away.
Yeah, I think we're all right. But, giving him a pass.
But
we'll root from afar.
Right. We don't have to worry about that decision, but there might be other people out there making that decision when to draft and when not. But anyway, we'll get into that a little later.
Speaking of which, it's very apropos that I have a page right now. It's just Dustin Johnson looking me right in the eye because he knows you passed him last year.
Oh, I did.
We had him.
That will come up, I'm sure, many times. The old Rory over Dustin take. Now, I will say he didn't end up winning a major and having the monster historic season that we thought. Now, again, would I have taken him over Rory McIlroy? Of course. Would it have possibly won us some money?
Yes.
Probably, because we would have won some earlier weeks. We would have gotten into the playoffs.
Don't try to justify not picking a guy who won four times last year.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But, you know, hey, at one point I was like, wow, I just turned down Tiger Woods 2000 here. You know, that's where it was looking really bad until Dustin slipped on his stairs. Oh, and maybe that's why it happened to me last night.
Speaking of Segway,
I should have learned from Dustin, do not walk down stairs, especially wooden stairs in a cold basement with just your socks on. You will slip. You will fall. And most of the time, you'll probably break something. I was lucky I did not break anything, just some bruises to my ego and my forearm.
Let's be honest, you kind of needed a little bit.
I did.
Your standing's been getting a little too high for my liking.
I mean, well, it doesn't get much worse than, you know, going downstairs to grab some toilet paper and slipping and falling on your butt all the way down the stairs. So that's about as humbling of an experience as you can. And having your wife have to run down the stairs and see you crumpled in a corner.
Is she worried about your fathering potential now that you came and pulled this task off without injuring yourself?
Exactly. One might worry. But there's already been a talk about putting something on the stairs. I think it's called a stair runner or something. I've talked to a couple friends already. So
sounds like more work in your
future.
More
work, more DIY experimenting from myself. Probably the father-in-law really make him do most of the work while I just watch. But
you're a real man's
pretend,
man.
Exactly. Like when we hung a curtain rod this past week. But I'm there. I help. But anyway, long story short, maybe that was full circle for me not picking Dustin, although that doesn't make sense because obviously Dustin falling down the stairs hurt Dustin as well. Anyway, we move on. Century Tournament of Champions. Joel, I'll let you go first. Who is your top pick this week?
I think the top pick is, I think everyone's top pick, and that's Jordan Spieth. This is a guy who's gone 2-1-3 in his last three appearances. We mentioned earlier the kind of demanding approaches that this plantation course really commits in terms of the uneven side hill lies. That's tailored to Spieth's game. One of the reasons he does so well at Augusta National is this propensity to play really well off these type of lies. He's also a red numbers machine. He was first in birdie and scoring average last season. As we established earlier, you have to go low to be in the running here. Then just coupled with a really good finish in 2017, he had six top tens to end the year. I think we have to expect Spieth to continue the success this week.
Yeah, no, you took the pick right out for me. Of course, as not original pick or anything like that, but Jordan Spieth, the uneven lies thing really is amazing to me because especially a golfer who, you know, even if you play once or twice a week, that can be so frustrating, so difficult, but he thrives on those conditions. He actually said in his pre-tournament press conference that he doesn't have a driving range swing, which, I mean, you would think a PGA Tour player has a driving range swing and an everything else swing, but he actually enjoys the challenge of the different lies. And the fact that he does enjoy that clearly gives him an advantage. He thinks of it as, you know, it's almost like an art form for him to kind of figure out how it's going to play with this way versus that, and that you just don't always have a flat surface. So you're right, Joel, that definitely is a big factor this week and certainly is not going to bother him. You mentioned his track record. You know, you hate to get too caught up in track record, but when it's a win, a second, and a third, and three starts, it's pretty tough to overlook. And, you know, you mentioned he had a great year last year, and I saw a side-by-side, I forgot who did it. I'm sorry, I wish I could give them credit, but it was side-by-side of the stats between Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas for last year. And other than wins, Jordan beat him in every stat across the board. Top 10s, top 10 percentage, top 5 percentage, scoring average. I mean, everything. So, you know, we were kind of like, oh, Justin won his fifth time. He won a major. He's definitely the player of the year. And I'm glad he did win player of the year because 5 wins in a major should be enough to get it done. But Jordan was just a hair away from, you know, it flipping to where he wins 5 times in that major at the British. Of course, he could have also lost that one at the British. But he had a great year. And he probably was the best player on tour last year. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him be the best player on tour this year. So you're right with Jordan Spieth. All right, we both picked Jordan Spieth. That's it. He's going to win. No. Who else do you like?
Well, number 2 guy for me, this is a little off the board, that's Cameron Smith. You know, outside the top 60, and he's making his first appearance in Maui, so it doesn't yet really know which tracker to go off of. That being said, he is coming in on fire. He's reeled off, 4 top 5 finishes. That included a win at the Australian PGA Championship, and very similar speed. He's the ability to go low. Right now, he's 7th in birdie average this season. Granted, only really 8 tournament to go off of. But if you're looking for a little bit of a dark horse selection, and it's a short field, it's only 34 guys this week. But if you're looking for someone who's not in that, you know, top 6 or 7 big names, I think Cameron Smith's someone. Not only this week, I think if you were looking for a really long-term investment in 2018, Cameron Smith's the guy that really should be on your radar. 24-year-old, I think he's really verged on a breakout.
Yep. Had that breakout, obviously, at the Zurich, which is the team event, though. So it wasn't all him, but we saw him get the job done at the Australian PGA recently, which, if you're an Australian, that is a mm-hmm. big deal. I mean, we've seen, you know, Adam Scott and other guys. I mean, that is, they take that tournament extremely seriously. So you're right. I mean, he is coming in red hot. He was very busy in the fall, so you have to like that. Being a rookie at this event, they haven't done particularly well here, but probably ride that form.
He's also very good. In the rare event that wind does pick up, if you look at the stats, again, it's very limited because he doesn't have a lot of events under his belt, but he's played relatively well in the wind, so something to keep in mind.
Speaking of that, I'm taking a guy who's great in the wind. He's great almost everywhere, and the last time we saw him play, he was out of this world, and that's Ricky Fowler. Obviously, Tiger was the whole story at the Hero World Challenge. Even on Sunday, you kind of thought, oh, maybe he can kind of make a run, get in the mix. Instead, Ricky Fowler put on a dazzling display, birdied the first 7 holes, 8 of the first 9, looked like he might shoot a 59, ended up with 61, I think, in pretty windy conditions, I might add.
It's not like the rest of the field went low that day.
Exactly. He began the day 4 shots behind Charlie Hoffman. 7 shots behind Charlie Hoffman. He ended up winning by 4. So it was a runaway victory despite starting from well behind. I think he started at the same spot as Tiger.
He was behind Tiger.
Yeah, and he ended up pulling ahead and winning easily. So he's a guy who I know it was a broken record last year, but I kept talking about how his statistics were so much better than his win total. He won the Honda early in the year. That was, of course, when Johnny Miller said he wasn't that impressed. And we all got a chuckle out of that. But his statistics for the rest of the year were great. Played well at the majors, but just couldn't break through and had a lot of close finishes. And this Hero doesn't count as an official PGA Tour win, so he's still stuck, I believe, on 4, which is kind of amazing for all the talent he's displayed. But I'd be stunned if he only wins once this year.
I think, we did this predictions piece as our Year of the End content, and I think Fowler's going to finish the number one player in the world this year. I think he's winning the major, or he's getting his major. If you look at last year, you mentioned the stats show the stats show he's getting better. The stats actually show he's one of the best just overall games in golf. There's really no weak point. The one big knock on him, and granted, it's the pretty big knock, is that he hasn't really been able to elevate his game when it's called, for it. Obviously, at Masters last year, he was in the penultimate group. I think he shot, 76 in that, on that final day. Aaron Hills played actually relatively okay. I think he, you know, he was still under par for that final round, but against when Brooks Koepka was going nuts, he really wasn't able to get all the birdies he needed to do. But played really well at Quail Hollow, finished T5. So he's getting the reps. He's still in his 20s. This isn't a situation where, man,
barely,
he's running out of chance.
29.
Hey, he's still in his 20s. But, you know, this is a – historically, guys are just now kind of hitting their peak, hitting their prime. So I know he looks old compared to guys like Spieth and Thomas, Matsuyama, Rahm, but he's still young. Someone like Patrick Cantlay, you know, is only a couple years younger. And we look at Cantlay as this new fresh breakout star. He's, you know, only a couple years older than him. So sometimes you need to kind of be in the saddle and fall off a few times to really get your bearings. I think Fowler's in for really big things this year.
All right. Since you mentioned Cantlay, I'll go ahead and I'll take him with my third pick. I know I said don't take guys who are rookies in this event, but this guy is just not your usual rookie. Jumped up more than, I believe it was 1,600 spots in the world ranking. He's up to 38 now. He started the year 18-something. Just had an incredible year, despite only playing 15 times. He's never misses a cut, literally. He did not miss a cut last year. Made it all the way to the Tour Championship, despite only having 11 starts prior to the playoffs. Broke through at the Shriners when I placed a $20 bet on him. By the way,
really? I haven't heard
one
that.
Of my big errands, what do I want to say, things I checked off my list over the break was to send that to Vegas. Certified mail, made a copy, scanned it, everything, that ticket for $380 I think I get. So haven't heard back from them. They say, though, it takes 4 to 6 weeks. I think it's been 3 weeks, so I'm starting to get a little, you know.
Uh-oh.
I'm checking the mailbox every day.
You documented how you sent this, right? You took photos
I
of
did.
The receipt? Okay,
took,
just making sure.
I took everything, and again, the certified mail, and it got there, got delivered 2 days later all the way to Vegas. So anyway, I'm hoping. But anyway, thank you, Patrick, for that. And picking him again this week, we'll see how he does in his second real full season.
I think as we saw in the fall, what we saw in 2017 wasn't an aberration by any means. He ranked ninth in strokes gained last season, even better so far in the early going in the 2018 campaign. So I had Cantlay actually as a guy who's going to be a contender for the Ryder Cup this year. He's got that doesn't sound like a lot, but he's still got a long way to go, especially since there's going to be so many young guys already on that team. He's not going to be a captain's pick, I don't think. He's going to really need to earn his way. But from what we've seen so far, if he keeps doing what he's doing, that actually shouldn't even be an issue at all. So it'll be really interesting to see how this 2018 plays out for him.
Yeah, and you're right. Ryder Cup, obviously never too early to talk about it. But you're right. There's so many guys. You know, you start to think, oh, that guy's definitely going to make it. That's not the case. I mean, there's, you know, 12 spots when it's all said and done. And if you start naming all the really good, I mean, on both sides, but especially right now, the U.S. golfers, there's so many guys that are just that you know are trying to get a spot and you think are going to make a spot, and when you start writing all their names down you say, wow, now I'm up to 15 names, 16 names, 17 names. You know, it was nice to see Charlie Hoffman finally get a crack in the President's Cup. Kevin Chappell, same thing. I mean, are those two guys going to be on the Ryder Cup team though? Who knows? I mean, they could not. I mean, but a guy like Cantlay takes a spot from one of those guys, so you obviously have maybe five or six guys that are locks. But then beyond that, it really gets tough. You know, my guy Bill Haas, I mean, he's been on three President's Cup teams. He's never made a Ryder Cup team. I just saw, obviously it's very, very early because this year's stats count the most, but he's ninth right now on the list. I mean, he's a guy who you don't even think about, and he's always right in the mix there. Could get a pick, you never know. So, but yeah,
the tough one's gonna be Phil, honestly.
Exactly. And then is Phil still a lock of a spot? Was the President's Cup his swan song, or does he want one more Ryder Cup swan song? We'll see. Will he be content with Hazeltine? I don't think so. I think he wants to play one more time. I think he'll get at least one more crack if he wants to. I mean, I can't imagine Furyk saying no to Phil Mickelson.
I mean, let's be honest. We should fast forward. The best Ryder Cup development will happen is when he gets named captain and 2024 in Bethpage. You know he's going to really consider naming himself part of the team.
Yeah.
He'll be, what, like 54, I think, at that point?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Book it. I mean, what was Floyd, 51 when he played in the Ryder Cup? So
50 or 51. Yeah. No, Phil would be the oldest.
If you can,
sure,
if you can bet that right now, Phil Mickelson will play in the 2024 Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Okay. So I went with my third guy, Cantley. Go ahead, Joel.
I'll tell you, actually, a guy who's kind of intriguing for me. I'd pick him, but it comes with a bit of a gamble, and that's Hideki Matsuyama. If you're going off track record, it's impeccable here. He has a runner-up and a third-place finish in the last 3 years. But, man, I can't get over how bad his putting was from the fourth round of the PGA Championship to the end of the fall. I mean, he went from – this is a guy who, you know what, he was an average putter. He wasn't, you know, necessarily bad just a couple of years ago. He was right in the, you know, mid-60s, mid-70s. And it's just fallen way off the grid. I mean, he finished 173rd in strokes gained putting last year. And the last four events, he was either last or second last in strokes gained putting in those events. So it's weird because this is a guy who's on the practice screen more than anybody else at every tournament. And just for some reason, he hasn't been able to translate that to the actual round. But that being said, we mentioned earlier, Kapalua, the greens aren't really that tough to navigate. They're run a little bit slow. So if his ball striking's good enough, it shouldn't be that an issue this week. So I would still recommend Matsuyama. Just realize that for his price tag, there is a more of a gamble than you think there.
What's so crazy, too, is, and you were the one who pointed this out to me, that he had a couple tournaments. I think it was probably the Bridgestone where he dominated and maybe even the PGA where he was putting great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he switched putters.
And now he does switch putters all the time, but he didn't stick with the putter that was
That he was putting well with, the hot putter. It's crazy. And yeah, he'll show up to the practice green with a few putters routinely and kind of just pick one at the last second. So, you know, if he ever really figures that out, good luck to everybody else. But until then, yeah, he's you just never know what you're going to get. My final guy is Mark Leishman. Coming off an incredible year, the best year of his career, obviously. And he finished strong as well. Obviously, he was one of the lone, I'd say, bright spots, if you can even say it, on the President's Cup team. You know, he came in with such great form after the playoffs. And continued in the fall. He ended up with the top four finishes in four of his last six starts. And, you know, a guy, we've mentioned the wind a little here, a guy that's not fazed by the wind either. I don't see any reason why Mark Leishman can't have another big year in 2018.
No, it's that was actually one. There were so many good stories from 2017. I feel like Leishman's, I don't want to say rejuvenation because, you know, it wasn't like he was falling off the map, I mean, but kind of seeing him raise his game to that next level, especially all the things his family has gone through, it was really heartwarming. And, you know, it, like I said, it seems like he's still young enough where he can still be getting better. So he's got a really good track record at the majors. I wouldn't be surprised if Leishman's in the conversation maybe at Shinnecock or PGA Championship this year.
You have one other pick?
Yeah, this is, you know, this will be a little bit of a wild card, and that's Bryson DeChambeau. You know, rookie here. It's funny. His story arc the past 16 months has gone from, this guy's the next big thing. Is he going to even make the Ryder Cup
as a rookie?
To, is this guy going to even get his card and had to go to the web.com tour to get it and really struggle that first 6 months on tour. Got things going a little bit toward the U.S. Open, then won the John Deere Classic and actually played pretty well the rest of the year. Finished his year with three consecutive top 20s. He actually enters this tournament seventh in strokes gained tee to green, in the early season. This is the course that does fit him all the way. Like, one thing, if you look at where Bryson's really struggled, it has been putting. I mean, every tournament that when things go south, it's because he can't get it done with the flat stick. But we've mentioned multiple times here, putting shouldn't be an issue this week. So I can see DeChambeau being a sneaky pick for a guy breaking into the top five or six this week.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. That was a pretty lengthy chat, but we had a lot to talk about, and we thank you for listening. We thank you for joining us again this year. We wish everybody good luck in whatever fantasy formats they play, and we'll be back next week. But please subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't done so already, and please remember to always wear shoes when walking down wooden steps in your basement.
I will say, unlike Dustin Johnson, you came into work because you're a
gamer. I came into work the next day. That's right. Gamer. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week.